Chapter 3. Creeping Constitutionalism from the Temple. A quote from Professor Philip P. Fricke, A Common Law for Our Age of Colonialism. At bottom, the court needs a contemporary comfort level with the proposition that tribes are governments, not voluntary membership associations. It is surely discomfort with this conclusion that has led the court to impose a creeping constitutionalism in federal Indian law. The business of locating the sources and limits on tribal governmental power is quite different from that of similar inquiries involving the federal or state governments. In the latter situation, the Constitution serves as the touchstone document through which the court determines the proper limits of governmental action. This is true even for situations in which the interests of tribes or Indian people might be involved, even indirectly. For example, in the early 1970s, a non-Indian federal employee named Carla Mankari brought one of the earliest challenges to federal affirmative action policies. She challenged a federal employment preference system within the Bureau of Indian Affairs that favored similarly qualified members of federally recognized Indian tribes in hiring and promotion decisions. Her legal argument rested on the Constitution, which she contended prohibited the federal government from engaging in racial discrimination among its citizens. In Morton v. Mankari, 1974, the court rejected her claim, stating that the hiring and promotion preferences reflected a political, not racial, classification in light of the tribe's unique sovereign status and Congress's special responsibilities to Indian tribes. As a result, federal legislation of this sort would be valid so long as it was tied rationally to the fulfillment of Congress's unique obligations towards the Indians. In cases in which individuals are challenging the legitimacy of tribal power, the Constitution is not available as a check against alleged unlawful government.